One of the most respected international reports into the world's climate has been released today, and it contains some record-breaking numbers. The US National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's peer-reviewed annual report contains contributions from more than 450 scientists around the world. Dr. Sarah Perkins Kirkpatrick is a senior research associate at the Climate Change Research Centre at the University of New South Wales. She's the author of a chapter on land surface temperature extremes, and she spoke to me earlier. Dr. Perkins Kirkpatrick, this latest report from NOAA warns that 2015 saw records broken across the board in air temperatures, ocean temperatures, sea level rises, extreme weather. How worrying is this?
Unfortunately, Eleanor, it's extremely concerning. So this report actually really comes as no surprise. We've already been told time and time again that 2015 was the hottest year on record, which beat the record that was set in 2014, and it actually looks like 2016 will surpass the record again. So to hear that it's been hot and extreme is basically no surprise. This report's just gone into a lot more detail as to why that occurred and with some more facts and figures to back it up.
The report concludes, though, that this series of record-breaking numbers is due in part to one of the strongest El Niño effects experienced since at least 1950. Does this mean that this can be dismissed as a one-off?
I would not dismiss it as a one-off, no. So certainly, without a doubt, the El Niño that we had in 2015 did play a role in a lot of these extreme temperatures and the record-breaking global average temperature. So we did have one of the strongest El Niños on record. It also started quite early. We never usually seen El Niño take off in about April or May, which is what we saw last year. So it certainly contributed to the hot temperatures, but they still would have been quite hot without the El Niño anyway. When we do have these El Niño events, we do expect to see warm temperatures, but we wouldn't expect them, at least without climate change, to be as warm as what they were last year. But we also need to remember that we're about to, you know, we've got these predictions, and they're pretty good that 2016 will be another really hot year on record. And there's predictions also at the moment they're about to head into a La Niña. So that doesn't really coincide with the whole, well, we only get hot temperatures when it's El Niño, because we are starting to see these sorts of extreme events occur when we don't have an El Niño actually occurring.
Now, this report is compiled by more than 400 scientists from 62 countries. But how reliable are the numbers?
I would say the numbers are extremely reliable. So they haven't just chosen a couple of scientists who are knowledgeable in a specific area. They've asked scientists to contribute to this report in their areas of expertise. So that's why we have over 450 scientists. They're each working on the separate sections that they know a lot about. So within that, they know the knowledge about what data sets are most reliable and fit the most appropriate techniques to get the numbers out of those data sets. So I would argue that are actually quite reliable because we have the right experts deriving those numbers from the right data.
Well, your area of specialty is climate extremes, and you contributed to that section of the report. What concerns you most about the data that came through from 2015 on this?
Well, what concerns me most is how extreme it was all over the world, really. So we had a lot of heat waves occur in 2015. Most notable are the heat waves over Pakistan and India, where thousands of people were actually killed. But then we also had record-breaking autumns over Australia. There was extreme heat over Russia. There was also heat waves during Europe in summer last year. So basically everywhere, in terms of heat records, basically lit up like Christmas trees. And this is really concerning. There was a huge signature of this when we looked at the hottest daily temperatures, and also a signature when we looked at how hot nighttime temperatures were as well. So yeah, that's what really sticks out for me, that basically everywhere was extremely warm, at least for some part of last year.
And you don't dismiss that in part at least due to the El Niño effect?
I will say that in part there was an effect of El Niño. That is true. We almost always have hot weather in Australia consistent with an El Niño. So we can't say that the El Niño didn't contribute. Of course it did. But it would have been a fraction of the amount of warming compared to what we see due to anthropogenic climate change.
Is there also a concern that we are seeing stronger El Niño effects at this time?
So this is still an area of active research. There are some studies coming out that are saying that when we have an El Niño, they will be more intense thanks to climate change. But we don't really know for sure how climate variability, which is what causes El Niño and La Niña, how that will actually change. But there's still a lot of research going on into really nutting out how climate change actually affects those events.
And how confident are you that governments will take these latest results seriously?
I'm really hopeful. We have to be hopeful that they actually start to listen to us, to say, look, this is a real problem. We're seeing some really concerning extremes. There's been many, many, many other reports in many different forms prior to this one. So I'm really hopeful that the more we add to this pile, the more they actually sit down, listen and take some action.
The UN Paris Conference Agreement commits governments to a series of actions. Will they be enough?
If we start working soon, or if we start working now, hopefully they will be. It's looking less and less likely, unfortunately, that we will be able to cap warming at 1.5 degrees Celsius. Again, I'm still hopeful that we can. It's looking more likely that by the end of this century, we might warm by 2 to 2.5 degrees Celsius if we all work together to meet the Paris Agreement.
And what does that look like?
Unfortunately, when we have a small shift in average temperature, we see quite a large shift in extreme temperature. So even a 1 degree or a 2 degree warming actually sees quite a large change, particularly in the frequency of extreme events. So the sorts of extremes we've talked about in this report, they're already occurring when we've only seen a change in average temperature of 1 degree. So you can imagine that would be another 2 or 3 times worse, again, when we see increases of 2 to 3 degrees Celsius.
Dr. Perkins Kirkpatrick, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Eleanor.
That's Dr. Sarah Perkins Kirkpatrick from the Climate Change Research Centre at the University of New South Wales.